Well, hey, can you turn to your neighbor and just say what's up real fast? Just say hey, get to know each other. Hey there. Okay, that's enough relationship. So, tonight we're talking about the fruit of friendship. Raise your hand if you have friends. Okay, that's not true. I'm your friend. So if you've been here the last 2 or 3 weeks, for me especially, I've noticed that there's been kind of a shift in the spirit of home. It felt like for a while we were trying to find our culture, we were trying to find our identity, and I feel like now every single week I come in here and it just happens. There's no striving. I think maybe the first couple months I was like, man, who are we? What are we doing? And now I come in here and I leave. I'm like, man, I feel empowered. In the first couple of months, it felt like for me, I wanted to see things happen. And now God is doing those things because we stopped striving. We gave it to the Lord. Do you guys agree with that? It feels like during worship, during messages afterwards, there's more community. And I think a lot of us are being set free. I think a lot of us are growing with Christ. And now, as we move forward, as we get set free, I feel like now is the time to reevaluate our friendships, to reevaluate our relationships, because if we're going to be set free now, we need to be prepared for the future. We need to be with people that when we move forward, when I get closer to Jesus, I stop doing things, I'm becoming more of who I'm meant to be. We need to make sure we're with people that can come along for the ride. Does that make sense? We need to take ourselves seriously and our friends and relationships seriously. If we're not intentional with our time, I believe that we often waste it. If we're not intentional with our relationships, we often grow lazy in love. We just kind of do whatever. Yeah, I care about you, man, whatever. It becomes so easy for us, but we don't even notice it. If we're not intentional about serving, we often stay safe and slow in our growth, like we talked about last week. We need to surround ourselves with people that understand the seriousness of spiritual growth and the intensity of intentionality. Where I'm going to live a life that is intentional. I'm not just gonna spend time with people just because I don't wanna be alone. I'm not just gonna do whatever the heck I wanna do. If people feel love, they don't feel love, it doesn't matter to me. I'm doing my own thing. There's so many business people in these books by business guys. It's like, just forget everybody else and just push and go and go and go until you make the $1 million. There's so many books, so many podcasts. And to me, I look at these things, I see these things, people are reading these books, they're showing me these podcasts, this is incredible. And all these messages are just go, go, forget about everybody else and prove everybody wrong that you're the only one that can do it, you're the only one that knows how to do it because money is the answer, prosperity, whatever it is, fame. You guys ever heard a podcast like that or somebody shares it and they're like, this is so good? Two of us, okay. And to me, that is actually the opposite of Jesus. He didn't look for fame. He didn't look for popularity. He looked for people. His relationships were so intentional that other people thought he was crazy. He was a friend. He was known as a friend of sinners. His relationships were full. And as we grow, as we move forward, because we're not a church that stays in the same place. We're not a church that stays comfortable. Sometimes I sin, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I know that I'm loved, sometimes I don't care. Sometimes I, whatever. No, we're a church that moves forward with God because there's a destiny for us. We don't just sit on the sidelines and watch the world go by and watch God do things and we say, oh, that's so cool. We say, man, I'm involved in God's mission. But we cannot move forward if we're afraid of making people offended that we would rather pursue God than an unhealthy relationship. Or if our friends are say, hey, man, come do this with me. Let's just drink a little. Let's do this. Let's just have some fun. And you're like, man, I feel like there's like a conviction in my spirit, but I don't want to make anybody else offended. But like Jesus was a friend of sinners. Yeah, he was a friend of sinners, but he was the one doing the influencing. We talked about that like I think last month, that Jesus was the one influencing people. He was never influenced. And I wanted to talk about this, like I said, because now is the time for the church to rise up and grow. The church has been immature for too long. I was immature for too long. And I wasted so much time When I got saved, I left all my friends, the ones that were, we were doing stuff that I should have never done. I got saved. I went to these friends. I said, hey, guys, I feel like my life's changed. I want to just be a different kind of person. I remember saying to their face, I hope you don't feel unloved, but I cannot, like, spend time with you anymore. And these guys, they weren't really, like, super rude, but they kind of understood. I think they were respectful in a way. But I remember after that time, I had, like, no friends because I was part of a crowd that everybody hated. And when I realized that Jesus was real and decided to live for him, I was so alone through high school. I remember I would just walk to class. I would just grab books. That way no one would look at me or talk to me because I was so afraid of somebody saying, oh, I heard you're a Christian now. What happened when you said this to me? You treated me like this, or you did this, or all of these things. It was such a shame-based thing for me to realize that I was set free. And I remember because of that, I kept putting shame on myself. Like, you shouldn't be saved. You should just go back to whatever it is. I went back to those old friends, and I tried to hang out with them again. And I was like, oh, we can hang out, but I'm just not going to take part in what's going on. I'll be in the room. I'll spend time with them. But I'm just not gonna do the stuff that I used to do. And I remember it happened, and for a couple days, I remember I was fine, I felt fine. And then slowly as time went on, my language started to change, my attitude changed, the way I treated my family, my other friends. I was going to church during this time, I remember, and I was treating people differently, and people could tell. My youth pastor was like, hey, man, are you doing okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing fine. Like, quit asking me. If you're upset that someone asks you if you're okay, there's something wrong. There's something that you don't want to say. You're hiding something. I really think that. If people say, hey, man, are you doing okay? And you're like, dude, leave me alone, man. It's like, sorry, I care about you. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. We need to look at ourselves, our relationships, our friendships, and ask, who am I becoming? I think being friends with people that maybe don't believe what you believe, maybe they don't understand the gospel, hopefully knowing you, they do, they will. But I think it is okay. But I think we have to look at ourselves and say, who am I becoming by spending time with these people? Because if you look at it biblically, relationship was meant for us to empower each other, to push us closer to Jesus. But so many of us are so worried about not letting people feel unloved. We want them to know that we care, but we don't even spend time with Jesus or look at him and want him to know that we love him. We're so concerned with this one friend who barely cares about me. I want him to know that I care. But Jesus is over here saying, I died for you. And this friend couldn't care less if I spent time with them or whatever. I strived so much. I wanted friendship so bad. I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to walk the halls of this huge school, just feeling alone and trying to read a book I didn't even like just because I didn't want people to look at me because I felt so shame, so much shame. I tried so hard. And I remember the Lord kind of spoke to me through a couple weeks. It's like it was really slow, I think because I needed to take it slow. But he said, why are you trying to find validation in the amount of friends you have? Why are you looking for your worth in other people? Guys, as we grow, we have to be with people that will push us forward. Yeah, after church, whatever, we're so excited. But man, I feel pumped up. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's go pray. Let's go have a time with Jesus. And then by Wednesday next week, we're like, oh, I'm so tired. And you're around friends that don't even care. And then you're just, oh, whatever. I'll just give in to being lazy. I'll give in to not caring. I'll give in to apathy. But if you had friends that understood the seriousness of being intentional with a relationship with you and with God, when you came on Wednesday and you said, hey, guys, like I'm feeling down. I feel like I feel shame again. I'm tired. I don't really have the energy, it feels like, to spend time with the Lord. What are those friends going to do? They're going to push you and say, man, you can do this. You can do this. And you're going to look at yourself and say, you're right. You need to remember why it is that you're doing this. It's because Jesus died. And so now you don't have to worry about anything else but him. Spending time with him, getting to know him. Today, it was like 4 o'clock today, or maybe it was like 2 o'clock. I got off of work here. I went to my house. My wife had a meeting. And normally what I would do is I would sit on the couch and I would turn on Ugly Delicious on Netflix and I would just watch food shows because I'm tired or whatever. It's like my off time. Since I say that excuse, like, oh, it's my off time, which is, that's another sermon, honestly. but I normally just try to relax before church. But today I felt the Lord was like, hey, remember when you preached last week that there's more? And I said, oh, yeah. And instead, I turned on just worship music on the TV. My oldest son, Park, he's 3 years old. He was sleeping. I had my youngest son. His name's Summit. He's 1 year old. He's so cute. We were hanging out. I was just holding him. I turned on worship music. And I was like, man, I'm just going to just start praying. And immediately when I started praying, I started crying. Because I was wasting so much time. I put my son in the high chair. I gave him some snacks. I just sat on the couch. Guys, the Lord is asking the church to step up. We're wasting time. You think you know enough about Jesus? I don't know enough about Jesus yet. And I just was singing, and I was just like dancing with him, not like the cucaracha or anything, but just like spinning slowly, you know? I don't want him to throw up on me. And it was just like, I just felt so filled in a way that I hadn't felt in a while. I think because so often we'd strive for those times, but God just made it so simple. It's like, you don't have to go to a huge church service or make sure it's like the perfect worship song and light a candle and turn the lights down. You're like, oh, finally. I can pray. Some of us do that, though, honestly. And as we continue this, as we grow, guys, we're growing right now. We're in a season of growth. But we have to be intentional to not get comfortable. We have to be intentional. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. But if you are a companion of fools, you will suffer harm. I think when I read that, the harm, sure it could mean physical, you're doing things, whatever. That could hurt you. But I think spiritually it's harmful to only be with people that don't care. Honestly, it's the only reason that the church exists, to build each other up, to empower each other. We can meet with God just with us. But the Bible says where two or more are gathered, right? Two or more. So obviously relationships are important. I think being with people constantly that tear you down, that don't care, that just want to have fun, that just want to joke, I think it's spiritually harmful. Because when you feel that desire, like I had today, to spend time with the Lord in a different kind of way, to change my schedule, what I normally do, if you're with a group of friends, I mean, right now, ask yourself, the friends that I have, if I was in a room with them and I wanted to spend time with the Lord, would they be supportive or would they be negative about it? Or maybe they would just want to make jokes because maybe they're Christians too. Maybe they're like, yeah, that, sure. And then they just like, don't care. They're not intentional. It can be Christian people too. I think that's why a lot of us didn't like church growing up or we felt like it was the church was dead, was because we were the people that didn't want to do it outside of the service time. We didn't want to take that step to be a little bit uncomfortable, to meet Jesus, to allow other people to come into that presence. Because we should be inviting people into the presence of God, not moving them farther away from it. In Amos 3:3, it says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet?" We have to be intentional. We have to do it on purpose. We have to do it on purpose. We can't just go into a place and look and watch and be like, oh, this is so cool. And then we leave and we don't care anymore. We have to do it on purpose. This means reaching out to your leader or someone that you look up to or your mentor or looking to people that maybe you're not close friends, but you know that they love God. Just saying, hey, man, can we spend time together? Can we get coffee? Can we hang out? Inviting them to go to the grocery store with you, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be like a specific time. Like, we're going to meet here. We're going to talk about God, then Jesus, then the Holy Spirit. Then I'm going to go home. It's like, we can invite people just to go to the grocery store, to get gas with us, to do whatever. We can live this life where people are around us, and it doesn't have to be in a church service. We can have church service anywhere on the street. But we're so like afraid of it, and I don't know why. If we have the answer to all suffering, to all confusion, but we're so afraid to tell one person, to let somebody see us reading our Bible. Guys, when I first got saved, there was a couple times I would go to a coffee shop and I wanted to spend time with the Lord because for some reason a coffee shop seems so spiritual. And I would take my Bible and I would have another book over the top of it. This is not a joke. I would have a magazine or something. I think it's like Ratatouille one time. It's a good book, honestly. And I would put my Bible. Y'all laughing at me. Sorry, I read books, okay? I would put my Bible in it and I would like hide it. And it was so stupid. Honestly, Ratatouille is the most embarrassing book you could probably read when you're an adult. Great movie, though. Okay. You can't walk with the wise and become wise if you don't plan it out. And here's another thing. I've come into contact with people like this often. People say, oh, I don't really have a lot of friends. I don't really care about that. I'm kind of like I think people calling themselves introvert a lot of time is actually a cop-out for being afraid of relationship. It was for me. Before I was saved, I would call myself an introvert. And I think being an introvert is a real thing. But I think sometimes you can say you're an introvert because you don't want to go to an event that you know you're going to have to be authentic or vulnerable or whatever it is. I think it's true. And I've seen it in my own life. That's why I believe I can say this is, I would tell people, oh, I just want to spend time alone, but it's just because I didn't want to talk to people about my faith because I wasn't doing that good. I just want to do whatever I want to do and then be fine. Like, just leave me alone. Remember that whole thing? Like, how are you doing? Leave me alone. It's because I didn't want to tell people that I was struggling, that I hated myself, that I hated my parents, that I hated church, even though I was leading worship and doing the whole thing and smiling on Sunday morning, hey, everybody, my dad's a pastor. I had to play this role. But in reality, I just needed somebody to actually take the time. But I have to let it happen. People can't force you to open up. But some of you guys are sitting in this room right now, and you know that you're not who you're meant to be. And you're saying, I know that I could do better. Not out of striving for good deeds, but because you know that God has called you to something. You're saying, I know that I told God I would spend time with him, or I know that I should read my Bible. I know that I should do these things, but I just don't. And I think, I don't know the answer, but I think one of the reasons why is because you probably don't have anybody in your life that knows that that's a problem for you. There's probably nobody that you're close to that understands what you're going through. And in the church, we're so afraid to just be real people. We're so afraid to tell someone, hey man, I am struggling. I have depression. I have anxiety. I struggle with lust. I'm angry. I stole money, whatever it was. These things that hold us back, when people walk by, we fake it. We're like, hey, everybody. But then on the inside, you're like, man, would you just please help me? And some of us just make jokes. We just want to just get by, get through the day with jokes. People will like us. We'll have good friends. As long as everybody else is satisfied and entertained with me, then they'll stay over here. Guys, I've cried in front of a lot of people. And it's the best thing because I don't actually care if I look like an idiot. And sometimes I do. It's like boogers right here, like in the mustache. I'm sorry. It's real. It happens. But if we can just understand this, that it's okay to be a real person and go to the people that you know are going to draw you closer to Jesus, and that it's also okay to be a real person and leave friends that are dragging you away from God. Because in the end, what's the most important part of our life? Jesus. There's two ways. You can get closer to God, you can get farther from God. And lukewarm is the worst of all. In John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Some of us love our friends. We care so much, and it's true, and it's beautiful, and it looks right. But we make excuses for people that would never die for us. Oh, we've been friends for years. I grew up with this person. We never really get drunk, we just get like tipsy. Yeah, we have crude humor, but it's like it never goes that far. Oh, well, he's a good person. She's a good person. Guys, don't make excuses, because you are not an excuse. Jesus died so you could have full life in him. Not so you could settle for the small crumbs of society, but God wants you at the table. There's a seat with your name on it. And some of us are in the hallway saying, "Oh, I'm full." And you're eating junk food from the world. And you're saying, "Oh, I'm full." Well, there's a feast inside with God and people that care about you. We're not going to settle here. I'm not going to settle to watch Netflix when I know that if I go to God, I will meet him. When he says, "Seek and you shall find." I think entertainment is a huge killer, because it feeds us this fake food, these things that entertain us. We're like, "Oh, this is, I'm not wasting time. I'm learning about culinary stuff in Asia." That's what I tell myself. I'm not wasting time. I just need to rest or whatever. I'm not going to find true rest in things on Netflix. Laying on the couch, kicking back, that's not rest. Jesus is the answer. And if you're not strong enough, we're not strong enough to do it on our own. We're just not. I was going to say something else, but we're actually not. We need a community. We need people. One of the first things to stop doing to find community is, number one, stop judging everybody. Simple as that. I don't care if, I know, it's insane. Stop, people don't dress like you, doesn't matter. Or from somewhere else, doesn't matter. The disciples, people that you probably wouldn't want to be friends with, they're just basic people, like me and you, just regular people. We look at these mega pastors and all these guys, man, if I could just move to this state and be a part of this church, I would just have wisdom, I would have a good community. While there's people all around you that care about you, and you're saying, you're not good enough. Guys, it's time. It's time. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about this, saying that you love Christ, but you don't act like him. When I don't act like Christ, I have friends that say, "Hey, dude, that was ugly." When I start gossiping, I have friends, like Micah, would say, "Hey, that's, you probably shouldn't say that." And yeah, it's embarrassing at first, and you feel bad. But then you realize that my friends still love me, even if I made a mistake. Guys, some of our closest friends are leaders with us here. You think we don't have like problems or confrontations or things? Everyone's so afraid, like, "Oh, I don't want to make anybody mad." Somebody came to me and said, "Hey man, I'm struggling with this. I was so afraid to tell you because I didn't want to get kicked out of the church. I didn't want you to stop being my friend." I'm like, "You don't even know me then." Some of us are getting farther and farther away from God, but it's with Christian friends, so we make an excuse for it. How many of your friends actually know the struggles that you have? How many of your friends know your testimony? I mean, honestly, how many of your friends know what you want to do with your life or what your passions are? I mean, yeah, maybe you watch shows together, you watch movies, you have fun, but like, guys, that stuff is all smoke. It's nothingness. It's honestly, it's wasted time. And I love movies. You can watch a movie. But when I get with my friends, people that care about me, I want to be able to talk about God and what he's doing and not feel shame about it or embarrassed. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It says it right here. Your friends should stir you towards love, to good deeds. I remember maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, at the original home downtown, a Bible study of 5 people. It was awesome. We were like reading, I think it was in Matthew, and we were reading about Jesus just like saying, feed the widows and orphans and the least of these, all this stuff that he says in Matthew. We read through, I think it was the whole book. And then at the end, we were like, hey, let's just go buy a bunch of McDoubles. I think it was like 50. No, it was like 60 or 70. It took like 30 minutes for them to make them all. But we sat in the McDonald's parking lot. And then we drove downtown. We rolled down the windows. And we said, hey, we have food. And we just started handing. People ran to the car. I was actually terrified at first. It's like a zombie movie. People were like, yeah. But I remember being like, man, this is awesome that the friends I used to have would give me pills to take. And now I'm with my friends that are handing out cheeseburgers. And we're praying for people. It's like it was such a shift for me. And I had settled for so long just to have a good time. And now some of the biggest times of my life where I saw Jesus move are with my friends. It's not on an event at a church service with smoke and at a conference with a big pastor or whatever it is. It was just sitting in my living room with 5 friends. And I said, hey, let's read the Bible together every week. And no one was embarrassed. No one made fun of each other for having issues. Nobody said, well, did you have a quiet time today? Or else you better leave. Some of us think that people will ask us that. I don't know why. I mean, in reality, we're so afraid of people like holding us to a standard that we let the world make a standard for us, which is so low. We should choose our friendships by the standard unto which they live. Some of us are these people, some of us know these people, but the ones that invite you, they invite you over, they invite you to hang out, but they don't seem to care that you're there. Anybody know anyone like that? Don't say their name or anything, but it just seems like people just don't want to be alone. Some of you guys are laughing. Hope it's not me. But I've witnessed this too with Christian people when I got saved. They invite me over to their house or we'd try to hang out and they would just be on their phone or they would just be like talking to other people and I'd just be sitting there like, man, what's the point of this? Like, why did I come here? It's just so awkward. It's like in the corner, like it's this Bible study, everyone's talking. I'm just like over there like, does no one seem to care that I'm here? Or do you go to a friend's house and they, like I said, they're on their phone, just whatever, on their computer doing stuff. And you're just like, hello, like, what am I doing here? I think some people just invite people over or have friends because they don't want to be alone. Like what I did in the beginning of my relationship with Jesus. I was so afraid of not having friends. I would hang out with anybody. There was no standard for my close companions. There was no standard. I didn't care. And some of us are inviting people into our life because we just don't want to be alone. And there's no intentionality. And there's no growth. and they don't know who you are, like I said. God is not a God of shallow relationships, like I said. He wants the most fruit, the deepest relationship, where you can say, hey, man, I sinned today. Will you pray for me and care for me? And that friend could say, yes, of course, and you pray together. Even if that friend struggles with the same sin, even if the people around you are not perfect like you expect Christians to be, if you're pushing each other closer to Jesus, it's a good relationship. No one's going to be perfect. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Some of us just have acquaintances. We don't have a best friend. And that's okay. But like I said, does anybody know who you are? Does anybody know? When it's in the middle of the night and you wake up and you're full of fear and anxiety, who are you going to talk to? Yeah, pray. Ask the Lord. He'll meet you. But he says, where two or more are gathered. He's not a God of shallow relationships. He's not a God who wastes time. He's either intentionally loving or intentionally resting. There's nothing wasted in the kingdom of God. There's nothing wasted. Rebecca, would you come back up here? Some of us in this room love things, whatever it is, material possessions, so much that most of our time is spent with things other than people. We settle for saying, oh, I'm just working on my hobby. Oh, I'm just at work. I'm trying to get this promotion. Or, oh, I'm just, whatever it is. You know what it is. Some of us are more consumed with the things of this world, material possessions, that we spend more time with material possessions than we do with people. That's not what Jesus did. This was such a huge thing for me this week. Just to go to my friends and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. Wednesday morning, I was feeling so, honestly, I was feeling terrible. I was feeling like all these things that we do to make people feel loved, that none of it mattered. I felt like people didn't care. I felt like no one cared for me. And honestly, leadership can be lonely sometimes. And oftentimes we blame other people and we say, well, they didn't come to church, so they're not, whatever it is. Just being honest, like these things that are wrong came into my mind. Like all the work that you're doing, it doesn't matter. When you pray for home, God's not listening. The homeless people are never going to come to know Christ. All of this stuff was just in my mind. And I texted three people. And I said, hey, would you just pray for me? And Joe Bloom, who isn't here, his son had a dental surgery. A lot of you guys know him. I texted him. I said, man, I'm just feeling this way. I feel like no one cares. I feel like it's pointless. And he said, hey. He texted me this long thing, and part of it was like, hey, it's not for other people. Jesus loves you. He asked you to do this for him. And the reality of it is, every single person in this room, I want you to experience breakthrough so bad. It's like my biggest passion, to see people that were in sin and confused and scared and whatever it was, just like I was, to come into a place where you could get up here and proclaim the name of Jesus and not be embarrassed about it. It's like my biggest passion to see people set free. And when people don't care, I have this opportunity to look at them and still love them, or I could do what comes naturally and say, I forget you, man. And some of us are doing that with our relationships. We're saying, forget you. I'm not asking us to forget people that don't love Christ. I'm just asking us to be intentional about the ones that do. I'm asking us to care about people whether they love Jesus or not. But to be intentional, like I was intentional, to still love people when they don't show up. When I say, hey, you want to get coffee? And they say, no. That is so awkward. Hey, man, let's hang out. No, thank you. Okay. I'm a failure. Guys, the main goal is love, right? To love all people. But the main goal is to look like Jesus and know who he is and get so close to him that nothing could tear us apart. Yeah, we'll struggle with some stuff. People will say things. People won't show up and you'll feel like a failure. But if I had gone to someone who didn't care about Christ, I would have said, nah, dude, forget him, bro. Let him go. They suck. But instead, I went to Joe, who knows Christ, who loves God. And he said, bro, we love him. And God loves you. And you have value. And it doesn't matter if it hurts or whatever. You're doing this for God. Remember what we read. He shared with me a verse we read together. And I said, dude, you're right. I'm almost done. I just have one thing that I feel like the Lord wanted me to say. And this is it. Some of us are missing out on worship nights, on services, on small groups, on things that people set up, things that God designed, things that God wants us to take part in, things where we could know Christ more because of the fear of people knowing who we are, or our friends seeing us go to these things and, oh, that's so lame, dude. You went to a game night? What'd you play, Catan? Well, yes, I did. And I lost. I mean, dude, people really said this stuff to me. You're going to youth group? Oh, you drink Mountain Dew out of a sock? Like, sometimes. And I remember, there was times where I would stay home and hang out with these friends. And I knew that Jesus would meet me at this place. I knew that there was a revival happening. I knew that there was an outpouring of his spirit. I knew this. Incredible things were happening. And if I went there, where two or more are gathered, I would come to know Jesus even more. But instead, out of fear, and because I had no friends to push me closer, I stayed back. And some of us are staying back. Guys, right now, we're in a season of growing. We're growing closer to Jesus. But we got to get with people. We got to be close to people that care, that are intentional. So what we're going to do now is there's some questions that I felt like the Lord put on me to share for us to go through. We're not going to sing right now. We're just going to take time and reflect. And I think they're on the screen, yeah. And these are some of the things that I felt like were the biggest obstacles for me is asking these questions. So if you want to spread out, you can. You can stay where you are. It's totally fine. We're just going to take like 10 or 15 minutes. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you have a bajillion friends and you came from a Christian organization and everyone seems good, everything's fine. I'm asking us to look deep, deep, deep into this idea of the fruit of friendships. Are my friendships producing fruit? We're going to take 15 minutes. And honestly, get your phone out, get paper out, whatever it is. Write down these answers. Because guys, this is not just something that I came up with. This is something that God wants us to go through, to grow through. This is it. Like, this is how we grow. We take intentional steps and ask ourselves hard questions. Don't just say, oh, I have good friends. I'm asking us to really look. So I'm just going to pray. Would you just join me in prayer? God, right now, would you speak to us? Would you show us areas that we're failing in, that things could be better? And God, would you show us areas where we're doing the right thing, where people are the right people? God, if we're leaders, show us how to create more leaders, not just get work done. God, show us how to serve better, serve our friends better, be the one that's intentional. And God, help us to answer these questions without shame, without guilt, but with intentionality of looking more like you and becoming more like you.